even in the biblical context and in the Christian walk, the one thing that you can realize brings man shame is their sin. And our response most often is usually just to hide it. We try to cover up our sin, which is shameful to us, yet God's remedy is similar, to cover up our sin and shame. But how he does it is through the blood of Christ. So there are many things that bring us shame, Mark.
Hello, welcome to the Let's Talk Podcast. Let's Talk Podcast is a Christian-centric platform here in Nairobi, Kenya, that seeks to have conversations through Christ's eyes. Let's Talk Podcast gets into episode 90, and I am not alone in the studio. My name is Mark Arodi. I'm with two gentlemen. That is
Steve Waithaka.
And one and only?
Simiu Emmanuel.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you for having us and for the warm introduction.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Excited. Episode 90. I don't know what that means in your tribe.
I can't wait to get to 90 years old.
Yes.
I think this is how it feels when you when you do 90 episodes. I think this is how it feels when you're 90 years old.
This is exactly how it feels. Yes. Yeah. So very excited that we get to talk about this subject.
Yes. Simi, are you looking forward to the conversation that we have today?
Yeah. I am so excited, as all of us are, to just get right into it, see what we have to share, but also encourage each other in this faith and, you know, go out there with something that we are going to hold on to. Yeah.
So, dear listener, we get into episode number 90, and today we're talking about ashamed of the gospel. We'll be seeking to ask ourselves whether we've gotten to a point where we can say, like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And in our society that we live in today, shame is all over. Steve, what would you say about shame in our society today?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, shame is all over.
Yeah.
There are a number of things that bring us shame. Some people are ashamed because of their background. The home that you come from is not as wealthy as you may have wanted it to be. Some people are even ashamed of their names. I remember at a certain point I wanted another name because, you know, some names sound better than yours. You know, Trufena, not the... It's not the most beautiful name. Some people might be ashamed of that. So they can even stylize their name. People are ashamed of how they look like. This might actually apply to mainly the women.
Do you love your name, Steve, even as continue?
Yes, I love it very
much.
Is
there a point in time or in life that you felt like there's a name that will fit you more, better?
Yes, I wanted to be called Ian.
Why Ian?
No, it just sounded cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I've been there as well. I wanted to be called Mark Owen. I don't know what's special with Mark Owen. Yeah, but there's a guy who used to be called Mark Owen when we were in primary. And so Mark Owen used to be to appear this cool guy and composed and just very civilized and how he does things. And, you know, the name is Mark Owen. So I feel you, bro, yeah.
Actually, my Ian, it was also a schoolmate in primary. He was called Ian Dickens. My guy. Ian, if you're listening, hi. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, some people are ashamed of their body size.
Yeah.
Some want to increase it. Some want to reduce it.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. Some people are ashamed of, I think I mentioned, their skin color.
Yeah.
You want to change it to look a bit more brown, rangi athao, but you may change color.
But very few want to change to look a bit dark. I don't know. Yeah, but I get the point. Yeah.
Yes, yes. There exists shame in just the normal world. And even in Genesis 3, we see Adam and Eve realizing that they were naked, and so in response to that they hid from God and they looked around for fig tree for fig leaves or for leaves to cover up their body parts after that realization. And so it
thank you, Steve. Simiu, if today I walk in a party where I found people dressed in a certain way, let's say it was elegant black and white, And I didn't know. I thought actually I'm well dressed for the party, but I didn't walk in dressed black and white. There's a feeling of shame that comes in. There's a feeling of not belonging to that particular group. Why do you think, Steve has mentioned a bit of that, but why do you think the shame all around us in many things, even as we now seek to dive into the reasons to why we are ashamed of the gospel?
I think,
even as you do that, do you have a name that you have always decided to have, even, apart from Emmanuel Simusiai?
Well, not quite. I just wanted Emmanuel with an I. I think my name sounded so cool.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to be more cooler with an eye.
Well, Simio, are you okay with Simio?
Not quite. But it's equally not badly off, really. But I wanted to be called Onyango, you know. there is a way I wanted to identify with them because I schooled.
In this case is
Luo.
Mm-hmm.
I schooled. Part of my schooling life was there, so I really wanted to identify with this society.
That was a good desire. Yeah, I tell a lot of my best friend that she should be glad that she's associating herself with that with that group. That's a good desire, really.
Well, not quite. No. Mark is being personal here. the shame is the fear of being, being unique in a bad way, you know. As you said, you're going to a party and everyone is dressed elegantly and maybe you're in a smart casual.
Yeah.
And you are unique, but not in good. Your apparel is not as good as everyone else. So the fear of why am I unique, but away from what everyone is looking like. Mm. And also, I think finally, we are also ashamed, as we were talking way before the recording began. Maybe we are ashamed of our parents, sort of. Maybe they don't display the best virtues there. Maybe they are suffering from a few things here and there. And maybe we are ashamed to identify with them. So it's quite the issue.
And it's because of sin. And Steve has so clearly said that the cure to our sin is the gospel. Yet this gospel that takes away our shame, that is brought by sin, it takes away our shame, it takes away sin, we are ashamed of it. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to everyone who believes, first the Jews, then to the Greeks, and to everyone who believes." So Steve, why would Paul make such a solid statement? Why would he do that, or how do we get there? Yeah.
Well, proceeding onwards, I think as you've mentioned, the reason he would make such a solid statement is because he believed in the transforming power of the gospel.
Mm.
He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ
because
it has the power to transform those who believe in it."
Mm.
And so he had a great belief in it. He believed that even in Corinthians, where he writes that God has chosen the foolishness of the message of the cross to save those who believe.
Mm.
That this is not about the wisdom and the intellect that you have, a stumbling block to one and despair to the other, foolishness to another.
Mm.
So he believed that even in its foolishness, it still had the power and God was supremely in charge. He would discard all the accolades that he had because he believed in the transforming power of the gospel.
He believed in the transforming power of the gospel. Simiu, why are we ashamed of the gospel? Look at the things that we get ashamed of. We get ashamed of what Steve talked about. He mentioned about body size. He mentioned about skin color. He mentioned about poor backgrounds. You know, the bad things or things that we, in our eyes, appear to be bad. But the gospel is beautiful. The gospel is the most precious thing that ever happened to humanity. It is the best news. Why are we ashamed of it?
Looking at it, the gospel is presenting a new identity altogether, that we are not of the devil, but actually we are of God.
Mm.
And now that we are living in a fallen world, this is not anything that the world identifies with. And so because we are unique towards this identity that Christ has called us to, we are often estranged to the world. And so we fear the, you know, we fear being unpopular to what the world says, to what the world begins. And so from that, then we have a lot of doubts and we have a lot of fear. And so we are ashamed to own this gospel as it is.
Steve, what would you say, or, you know, what exactly does it mean to be ashamed of the gospel?
Yes, to be ashamed of the gospel, I think it would be an unwillingness to be identified by Christ, unwillingness to suffer with Christ, doubting the transforming power as we talked about. It would be those things, and yet even Paul, I think the other question that you asked, why he was confident in the gospel, he says in verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So his confidence was in that. And for some are unwilling to believe or are ashamed of the gospel because they doubt that this is actually what the gospel presents. And from that you can even infer that the prosperity gospel has emerged. Because if you're ashamed of the gospel, you will seek to hide it, you will refrain from sharing it that much, or you will cover it up. You will start presenting something different to your listeners, because this one of you, there is this aspect of suffering is not my portion, yet the gospel might actually present that. Reading Philippians in a new light, where Paul was writing this while he was in chains, when he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A man writing in chains, not speaking out of affluence. So the gospel presents something very different. People are ashamed of the gospel because they have dared enough to compare the present sufferings of this world with the future glory. So they have not fixed their eyes upon what is to come. They have fixed their eyes upon the present sufferings. And then they're like, this gospel offers you health, it offers you wealth, it offers you prosperity. And so that has given birth to the prosperity gospel. Yeah, I think that would be my statement on it, yeah.
Wow, the world cannot identify with the gospel that we have, or rather that has been presented to us by Christ Jesus. And we realize that because of that, that therefore means that in a way we are still at crossroads. Between pleasing God or pleasing the man or the world. And so as a result, we realize that the world is not ready for our gospel. So what do we end up doing? We end up either presenting a false gospel,
or watering down the whole truth of the gospel so that it does not appear as objective as it should be.
Exactly, so that it appears appealing to them. Yeah. It appears comfortable. But you realize that the gospel in and of itself is offensive. Because you realize that the gospel says that you are a sinner and you deserve punishment from God. The gospel says that you need accountability. But man naturally escapes from accountability. That is why when I sin, I don't want people to see. That is why when I sin, and actually the devil loves that. The devil will say, you know, it's a secret. Nobody knows about it. So long as it can be kept secret, that's okay. And so that's what we want. We don't want somebody coming over us and telling us you are wrong. What we want to do, or rather what we want, is to be told that you are right. But what the gospel does is that it offends you. It says that you are wrong. And I think that's where the problem is, or that's where the issue comes in. That's where there's a wall between us and the world. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we cannot please the world, because the Bible says in James that friendship with the world is enmity with God. So guys, the next question will be, we live in a time where we Christians tend to be ashamed of this gospel, because we realize that one, we can't please the world with it. How do we How do we overcome this, should I call it a challenge? Or how do we get out of this place? How do we get to a point where, like Paul, you say that, why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and to salvation? Yeah.
I think this is my call. What can we do to... I think, like Paul, he identified that the power of the gospel is handy, that it is the power of God unto salvation. And as Steve has read from Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that in it there is the righteousness of God that is revealed. And thinking about it, that the power of the cross, meditating upon the power of the cross and every other thing that the cross is supposed to be, the cross is here to make us right before a holy God. That it is by the cross of Christ that Christ imputes all our unrighteousness on himself, and he dies for our sins. And finally, now we receive life and the fullness of life in Christ. So when we have an understanding of what the cross means, of what the cross means to the believer, that this is new life through Christ, and it is by faith alone, through Christ alone. So understanding the price that Christ had to pay by that cross for our righteousness, then it's able to at least draw us from how good and how great the message of the gospel is.
Yeah, and also I think from that understanding, then we can boldly proclaim the gospel. Because if you lack the knowledge of the power of the gospel, then you actually will not believe that it can save and it can transform and it can renew. But if you can actually believe that this gospel of Christ is sufficient in and of itself to save the worst kind of sinner, to transform hardened hearts and stiff-necked people. If you actually are convicted of that, then you will be willing to share the gospel. And sometimes I also look at myself and even those around us, that instances where we are ashamed of the gospel might be because we at times look at ourselves and we see we are not as perfect. So we are presenting a perfect gospel from a flawless vessel. So you wonder, what about my past sins, you know? Yeah. As in, I fell into this, I am still struggling with that. My life is not as perfect as the gospel I am presenting. Mm. We at times are ashamed because of the groups that we are in. You don't want to be identified by Christ because of the circle of friends that you have. You might be ostracized from them. You are distant. Huyo ni wa kanisa, huyo ni wa this, that, and the other. So there are so many things that will pressure us, because as we have talked about, we at times want to please man. We want to be identified in a community. We want to feel accepted somewhere. And the gospel actually is cutting and is in a way divisive. Because it separates and it points you to your sin. It points your sin rather the sin in you. Yeah.
Thank you guys for sharing. Clearly, the only way to deal with shame is to stay focused on the gospel, to stay focused on the cross. Augustine, one of the church fathers, said that unless we are arrested by Christ, then we remain to be restless. Unless Christ arrests us, unless he takes hold of us, then we become like, you know, they say aimless chicken, moving all over without focus and not able to deal with this shame. So I think staying focused on Christ, staying focused on the gospel, because shame will always knock on our door. Shame will always knock our door, and we must be intentional about praying about these, filling our minds with the gospel, because even Christ himself was tempted by shame. Hebrews chapter 12 says that for the joy set before him, he endured the pain of the cross, despising its shame. At the very moment, at the height of the gospel in the history of humanity, Christ was tempted. Christ was being enticed by shame. Enticed is actually not the right, because shame is not likely to entice you. It's usually more of ugly and everything. But at that particular time, Christ almost, you know, not almost gave in per se, but shame was knocking on the door. But what did he do? He despised the shame. Okay. So he despised the shame. So I think even for us, we must consider Christ. We must set our hearts on him in order to overcome these shames. Simeo?
I think building up on that,
yeah.
I think I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm.
And it is a book about all these heroes of faith and what they did, what they do, what they did before time. Yet they did not know Christ.
Yeah.
Yet they awaited these promises.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did not see him. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13.
Mm.
For all this died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them far off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims to the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So they sought a new heaven.
Yeah.
They did not behold of this glorious truth way before.
Yeah.
But then they held their hope not on any other thing. They were, you know, verses 14 is saying they would declare plainly that they were strangers in this homeland, really. That they were strangers on the earth. They were not ashamed of this gospel. Why? Because they fixed their hope on the promise that was to come. Even though they did not behold of this, even though they died without receiving this promise, they looked forward to this new Jerusalem. Verses 16, they desired a heavenly country. They looked forward to this new heaven whose architect was God. And for that reason, they stuck in the faith and they held on to Christ. And you know, one thing about this, the Bible finishes and said, for God was not ashamed to be called their Lord. If there is any encouragement not to be ashamed of the gospel, is that the Lord will not be ashamed to be called our Father and to be called to call us his children. And so this is a greater invitation. This is a greater encouragement. Let us look to him. Let us look forward to his promises.
Steve?
Yeah, even in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it is written, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. If you are ashamed of the gospel, you will be ashamed by the gospel itself. And even Christ issues quite a strong remark in Luke 9:26. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. If you are ashamed of Christ and of the gospel, then Christ will also be ashamed of us.
Clearly, the only way, we can't say this enough, the only way to deal with shame is by looking unto Christ. And when we look unto Christ, then we will grow, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, you know, beholding him, we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. The more we look at Christ, the more we become like Christ, and the more we therefore are able to deal with this shame. Because honestly speaking, so long as you're in this world, shame is part of our sins, and it's so easy to be tempted by it. So the only way we can overcome this is by staying focused on Christ, or else on the last day, Christ will be ashamed of us. And even just around us, I think I was reading Greg Moss, and he just says how our embarrassment shows that we've chosen reputation or love or esteem or ease or money, you know, our own lives for the sake of the love of Christ, over the love of Christ, you know, so that at a point I am not ashamed of having much money, but I am ashamed of having the most precious, the most beautiful thing, and that is Christ Jesus. And so he goes ahead to say that we don't speak much of Jesus. We take the path of less awkwardness. We fit in more and more with unbelieving friends and co-workers. We don't go quote unquote there with our unbelieving family as we did before. Our neighbors don't know we are Christians, and our family often wonders who we are. Yet we call ourselves Christians. The only way to deal with that is by once again reshaping our focus on Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, as even as much as we are ashamed of one thing, if we are ashamed of the way in which we look like and the things around us, then we have misdirected our confidence.
Mm.
We have placed our boast in the things of this world.
Yeah.
We find confidence in good names. We find confidence in wealth and in acquisition, in possessions, and in all these things. Paul himself, in 1 Corinthians, rather in 2 Corinthians, had every reason to boast.
Mm.
He mentioned that his origin would have been a reason for him to boast. In 2 Corinthians 11, he says, verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. He had reasons to boast.
Yeah.
His origin was reason enough for him to boast. His level of education somewhere in Philippians was reason enough for him to boast. The work he had put in for the gospel was reason enough. He had gone for missions. He had planted churches, a number of them. Most of the letters here are to churches that Paul was involved in one way or the other to plant them. His suffering, he had reason to boast because it is also written he was beaten with rods. He was flogged severely. He had been imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was always on the move, in danger of rivers, from fellow Jews, from Gentiles, in the country, from false believers. He toiled and he labored for the gospel. He had every reason to boast. And in verse chapter 12, he concludes with one final remark. I know of a man who had seen a vision, things we cannot utter. Here, he says, he was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. But his final remark and his conclusion was this, from verse 6, he says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think of me more than it's warranted by what I do or say, or because of the surpassingly great revelations. Yeah, so he had every reason to boast, yet he decided not to boast. Yeah.
And maybe to just add something not very different from what you're saying, is, are we ashamed of the gospel because we feel insufficient, or we feel not capable enough to tell people about this message of the cross? The Lord assures us in his word that he will be with us till the end of time. And so if the encouragement is that his spirit will guide us and his presence will go with us, then let us go. Let us delve in our weakness. I'm reminded about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that I brag of my weaknesses because in my weaknesses, then the glory of God, the grace of God is evident. So as much as we feel weak, as much as we shall feel inadequate, let us go, because the Lord has assured us that his spirit will be with us and that he will be with us till the end of time.
Steve, had something?
Yes. And nothing far from what he said. He says, I will boast in my weaknesses. I will delight in them because the power of God is made manifest. And he in chapter 10, as he was concluding, he says, it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but the one who the Lord commends that is approved. So him, he decided to boast in what the gospel had done for him, not necessarily in what he had done for the gospel or even through the gospel. And so his resort was, if there be any boasting, I will boast in the Lord, and I'll let the Lord boast about me.
Amen. I think as we've been talking, it has clearly stood out for me as I think of many times that I have been ashamed of the gospel. It is because of my identity. It's so easy to find our identity in many things apart from the gospel. Far be it from us that we will seek our definition in wealth, in professions, in titles, in statuses. Those things are good. Praise the Lord, they are gifts from him, but they are fragile. Today we have them 50, 60, 70 years down the line. They are no more. The only thing that lasts, the only thing that is permanent is the gospel. It's the word of God. I mean, God grant us the grace to stay focused on him. If Christ himself had every reason, Christ, look at the context, just imagine the context as you look at Isaiah 53, that he had nobody. Like, just for a moment, as we wind up, Isaiah 53, sometimes it's so overwhelming, really, because the picture of Christ is scary. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Look at verse 2. No form of majesty that we should look at him. And still with that, he was not ashamed. Because for the joy that was set before him, no beauty that we should desire him. The Lord help us. Parting shot from you, brothers.
Philippians 2.
Yeah.
Though he was God.
Yeah.
He did not consider quality to being with God, to being like God, but he actually humbled himself to the point of obedience, that he was nailed on the cross, that we may have Christ. Christ was not ashamed of the gospel. Christ was not ashamed of this reputation that was cascaded from God, now man, and to the cross, the whole shame that comes with the cross. But he endured it all. He willingly came down for us. And if he did, and he is a great role model, let us look forward to setting our lives apart for the sake of the gospel. Let us clear every doubt that we have. And let us really acclimatize the reason as to why we are born again. Let us identify what really is our identity in Christ. And with that reason now, let us have the impetus to now go forth and declare the gospel boldly with our friends, because it is through this means that they may come to Christ. Thank you.
Final word, Steve?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 11:1-11. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so to the dear believer and the dear listener, our boast is not in ourselves. Our boast is not in the great achievements that we may have or that we seek to have. Our boast ought to be in the Lord, because we are being saved. It is the power of God. And so we can boast in him. And then in the future, we know that God will boast in us. We can boast in the gospel. We can boast in the power that lies therein. We can find delight in our weaknesses. We can find delight in this identity, because we live in a world that is fallen, a world that considers what we believe in as foolish. So let us boast in the Lord, boast in the gospel, and share it, because it is a power for us who are being saved.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you, dear listener, for walking with us for the last 33 minutes. With God helping us, may we stay focused on Christ. May we spend time with him. And when we do so, we will be more and more like him, and we will desire to make him known, preaching Christ and him crucified. We will be all that matters to us, no matter the cost. So may we stay focused. And to the unbeliever, please consider this love of God for you. Repent of your sins and turn to Christ right now in the quietness of your heart. Feel free to reach out to us if you have a question, and we'll be glad to show you the scripture as to why you need Christ and why it's possible to have a relationship with him unashamedly. Thank you so much, brothers. And what do we say to our listeners at this point in time?
Bye.